So I'm not sure we're going to be dancing around here a little bit, but I did notes on Psalm 34, 1 to 3. I think a bunch of you have started to memorize this here. And so let me just get us going here, and we'll see how we pick this up, okay? Psalm 34, whoop, flipping your Bible, whoop, way back. This is take two. Psalm 34, as a whole, is an acrostic psalm. It's one of 7 to 9 psalms that go through the Hebrew alphabet, all 22 letters from Aleph to Tav, for a couple, you know, 4, 5, 6 verses, all right? And so what he's saying is I'm covering this subject from A to Z. It's a very amazing form of poetry, strict to be able to get across what he's trying to say inside of parameters. There's a break in Psalm 34 between verses 1 and 10 and verses 11 to 22. The first part is either thanksgiving or testimony. All right, Golden Gay mentions that not one line is directly spoken to God, so it's not thanksgiving as much as a testimony. I will bless the Lord. But merely he's telling what he will do and calling others to praise. The second half of the psalm is a teaching part. There's a wisdom psalm. And let me tell you what the fear of the Lord looks like. And so if another person said the first part is rejoice, the second part is let me tell you why. Now, what's the occasion of Psalm 34? Well, it references 1 Samuel 21, 10 to 15. It's kind of interesting because Tim has recently gone through those sections here. 1 Samuel 20, 21, 10 to 15. Remember this part? I'm going to read it. Then David arose and fled from that day from Saul, went to Achish, king of Gath. The servants of Achish said to him, "Is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of this one as they danced, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s'?" David took these words to heart and greatly feared Achish, king of Gath. So he disguised his sanity before them, acted insanely in their hands, scribbled on the doors of the gate, let his saliva run down into his beard. Achish said to his servants, Behold, you see the man behaving as a madman. Why did you bring him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this one to act the madman in my presence? Shall this one come into my house?" And you remember what Tim has been preaching on, as Tim is showing a bunch of things. One, how that eventually backfired, what we heard Sunday, and Achish was in trouble. It was made a laughing stock, and also some anger against Achish for allowing David in there. But then also, what should he do? David was in a pickle, and Tim put it out there. Was it a pickle of his own making? Was he right or wrong? Was he right or wrong? And what we're going to see inside of this, this psalm is that if it does refer to this, the commentaries are going back and forth. They're saying, well, there's a bunch of things here. If you look at the title in your Bible, mine says, "A Psalm of David When He Feigned Madness Before Abimelech." Before Achish? Before Abimelech. And they go, oh, wait, well, Abimelech, wait, Abimelech. Wait, Abimelech is like the title Pharaoh. Means father, my father, the king. So it could be when it's before the king. So it could be referring still to Achish. Abimelech is also the one that, remember, there was other patriarchs that dealt with Abimelech. A king of the Philistines, remember that? Isaac, remember Abraham, Genesis 20, 26. We're talking about a situation where you're afraid of the king and God delivered. It could be referring to that, saying this didn't happen when that situation happened, but David, looking back, commemorates that event of God's deliverance, not justifying David's actions, but saying God was the clear one who delivered. Tim called it the unseen hand on Sunday. So whatever's going on, the focus in this psalm is not the event, but the God who delivers. So he's referring to some event, okay, but he's more focusing on the actions of God. So notice as we start here, there, personal resolve to praise. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Bless. Favor. I think with favor I adore, I recount the mercies of, I think on the goodness of, I will bless the Lord at all times. All right, here's the softball. That other was a hard question. You just looked at me and stared. This one's easy. What does all include? What does all include? What does all circumstances include? Go, go, go. You just say it. You don't even need a mic. You're not going to say something big and long. What does it include?
Suffering.
Thank you. It includes suffering. What does it include?
The moment you wake up.
Yes. You hear that? The moment you wake up. Does it take you a few minutes to get your happy on? The moment you wake up, what does it include? Come on, don't think so much. School. It includes school. We're going to say work. All right? What does it include?
Conflict.
Jody. It includes the good gifts. When, forget God. I'm going to come to those passages here. We're not going to get to them. I'll go 5 more minutes. Tim.
You know that the psalmist was very sensitive to formal worship. He wanted to be in the house of God. This would have to take place outside of the temple. It would have to take place outside of formal worship. But we would be praising God even when we're not assembled in the congregation.
The heart that you need to have to get the most what God intends for you to do here, not just for you to get the most out of these services, but for you to give the worship that's due God's name when you come here, is often cultivated outside of here. It's cultivated outside of here. There's this false thing that's why I have to go to a different church if I don't like the pastor, all right? If the people aren't like me. If the, quote, worship isn't something that makes me feel the presence of God. I got a quote for that, whether we get to that tonight or not. You need to think about what Tim just said, because we're putting the pressure wrongly on worship supposed to happen in here. No, worship takes place inside of your heart. It's a posture. I will bless the Lord at all times. What do you want to add? Tired. Got one more? Yeah, Andrew.
Can you have a tight schedule?
Yes. 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 I can still hear Michael Card singing about, what's that one about the song about his dad as a doctor and sliding something under the door? And do you remember that? He thought my dad would deal with all this stuff all day long, and he'd come home and he'd hide himself behind the door, and he just longed to see his daddy for a minute. Nobody remembers that? You remember it, but you can't remember the song? Remember that? Oh, I want the title of that song, okay? I don't know if it was The Sunrise of Your Smile. What? Yeah, he did. And then right after it on the album, I think it was Scribbling in the Sand, he sings the song. He sings the song that was inspired by that. So, and the point, I've had to think of that a lot of times. The more stressed I get, the more pressure, I'm thinking, I can't come back later to my kids. They're going to have to get a moment from me right now when I can't breathe, when there's not time, when they can't carry the pressure that they don't even know about. They have to see somebody who's blessing the Lord and cares for them. Tim.
Underneath the Door.
Yeah, that's the song? Thank you. I'm going to put that there, and you can, I'm going to tie it when... So when tight schedule, whatever. Okay? When can't breathe. Anything else? Brad?
During the spiritually dry times.
There you go. Spiritually dry. I'll never forget my dad's fellow pastor in the Free Church that went out to Master Seminary and counseled was on their counseling staff. He is to this day. He counseled people for years about depression, and then he went through a dry period. And he said, nothing that I had taught, nothing I believed worked. But he said, it did good to my soul to come in and listen to everybody else bless the Lord. It didn't make a clear path. It didn't fix it all. He said, but it spoke like the harp did to King Saul. It spoke to his heart. When I'm spiritually dry, you think about this. It's easy to say that we should praise the Lord. It's easy to say, Romans 1, that the wicked did not honor him as God or give thanks. It's easy to say, rejoice in the Lord always. In everything give thanks. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. But it requires preparation and forethought if the words, I will bless the Lord at all times, are going to have any weight. Right? Youth group's about to start up next week, right? Isn't it easy? All you guys are understanding about what happens here at youth group, right? When it's raining and we're inside and this becomes a gym, right? It's easy to say we're going to try to take care of the building at youth group, but if we don't think ahead, all of a sudden you notice the ceiling tiles have holes in them. You see a hole in the wall. You see a broken front table or the candles on the side. There needs to be preparation and forethought. The words need a home. I will bless the Lord at all times. It includes the words, but you must have something behind it. Now, we need to quit, but I'm just going to throw this out here. You're going to answer next time, what will preparation for praise in all circumstances include so those aren't empty words? Because you're going to see where we're going to go here real quickly. It's, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Again, what Diane shared on Sunday night about the psalmist that tells of God's works. We're going to look at a couple passages here, and then I'm going to ask you just very simply, what keeps continual praise from our mouths from being a normal occurrence? My soul makes its boast in the Lord. We'll come back to that. We'll see when. Perhaps next week. Let's stop here. As we think about living the gospel, you need to think. We're following Christ. As we look to God, it's an interaction. Like we were saying, as Charles hung himself out there, it's an interaction vertically and horizontally. Let's follow Christ.